Depression again, we get all of what you put into it, like a walk of life. If you're good enough, go out and get it, no more about it. Your mother sends you down to the shop for a pound's worth of goods, and she gives you 50 pence. You can't get the pound's worth of goods, can you? Let me find out there from the war court today. No more about it, they made all the running, that was it. Put the ball over the bar and the back of it, and that's it. No ifs, no buts. There's no sympathy in this game for anybody.
Matt O'Callaghan, Matt, another bumper weekend of GAA. I suppose the hurling championship is becoming more and more defined as we go along with the replay last week confirming Limerick's opponents for this weekend. Carlow, of course, who put up a decent opening 11 minutes where Limerick were a bit sluggish. Limerick winning that match, booking their place against Kilkenny in the quarter final this weekend. So we're starting to get a clearer picture of the hurling championship. The football is about to enter into the Super Eights, and it almost feels like the football is only starting to really begin at this point. Matt, just to go back quickly to Dr. Cullen Park last Saturday evening, a sluggish enough start for Limerick. I think only a goal in the opening minute and no score again until the 11th minute. But you know, it's a kind of a situation for a team and a manager where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you hammer a team like Carlow, then the game is no good to you. And if you don't beat a team like Carlow, then you're not firing on all cylinders. So look, I'd say, you know, you can see from the post-match reaction from John Kiely, it was get in and get out, get the job done, hope no injuries, back to Limerick and plan for Kilkenny.
Yeah, I suppose John summed it up in his post-match interview in the very first sentence when he said we came here to do a job and we did it. But, all right, no disrespect to Carlo, they're obviously they were one of the minnows left in the competition. But you would have to say that overall, apart from that first 10 or 11 minutes, although Limerick got the ideal start actually with a goal inside a minute, and a well-taken goal, but you have to be happy overall with Limerick's performance. I thought it was quite encouraging now, to be honest. You see, this was the test of Limerick, the first test of picking up, we'll say, after what was a very disappointing defeat against Clare. Now, there are all sorts of reasons as to why that defeat came about, and I suppose the most notable one being the third game in 3 weeks. But the attitude and the approach and the intensity and the work rate of Limerick, which we have become accustomed to this year, they seem to have picked up where they left off in that score, and that is particularly encouraging going ahead to Sunday's game against Kilkenny and Turles.
Yeah, Matt, just to go back to some of the performances in the Carlow match, I thought Aaron Gillan had a fine game. I also thought some of the subs when they came on, Mike Casey, a good introduction as well. Tom Morrissey again, another fine performance. There was plenty of performances to pick from in that Carlow game that you'd say, all right, this guy looks like he's hitting a bit of form.
Yeah, well, we all know about the form of Aaron Gillan. It has been excellent for the last couple of years, particularly through the under 21 last year. He brought it into the senior this year. The only slight worry we would have going to Carlow would be that the incident where he got dismissed against Cork and sitting out the Waterford game. I thought, from what I saw of Aaron Gillan when he was introduced as a sub against Clare, that it was business as usual, that he picked up on his good form. He was coming into a team at that stage that was struggling, but I thought on Saturday against Carlow he was on top form, and the goal he got, and you must remember he added 4 points to it. He really put the game out of Carlow's out of Carlo's reach. But I thought the goal he got was absolutely top draw, top class. Because in fairness to the Carlo goalkeeper, Brian Tracy, he was a good goalkeeper, and but the power and the shot and the execution of Aaron Gillan's shot, like, I don't think there was any goalkeeper would have stopped it, And I'm quite happy that Aaron Gillan has returned to business as usual. No question at all about that. Now, Richie McCarthy came in at fullback. I thought he didn't put a foot wrong. William O'Donoghue came in at midfield in place of Dara O'Donovan. I thought he didn't put a foot wrong. It all adds up to giving John Kiely and his backroom team a huge headache when they come to pick the 15 to face Kilkenny, because certainly those guys have put their hand up in their hands up in the absence of Sean Finn and Dara O'Donovan. And of course, being another encouraging aspect of it was those two lads who picked up knocks against Clare and were struggling with injuries since the Clare game. Like, they were back in training with a week before the Carlo game. They came on, made cameo appearances, and didn't appear the slightest the worst for wear. And they will be gunning to get back their places when John sits down to pick the team this week.
Yeah, Matt, and I thought that was telling too. That you know, that first of all, that they got runouts, but you know that Sean Finn did make an appearance. I suppose indicative of the fact that John Kiely was trying to protect him insofar as he could with bigger fish to fry coming up.
Yeah, well, he did say after, when questioned about it, that they were ready for the game, but he felt that this was the way to go in reintroducing him, and I think that call was got spot on.
It certainly was. Matt, of course, we didn't have much time to really contemplate, who we were playing. After the long drive up from Carlo, it was the following Sunday or the following day when our opponents were confirmed, and you know, Galway were just fantastic last Sunday. I thought that they were, you know, in patches, they were really, 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 really strong. And, you know, they were going to give any side huge problems this season. And I suppose justifying their favourites tag to retain the Liam McCarthy. But, you know, we did see that Kilkenny clawed their way back into that game. You know, I know up to a certain point in that second half before Galway kicked on again. So, you know, hard to judge how Kilkenny are coming in. Are they coming in on the back of a bad defeat, or how are they coming into this game mentally? It's not an easy one to judge.
Well, at halftime in Turles on Sunday, there is no doubt at all about it. Kilkenny were in a difficult space. They had been out hurled, out manoeuvred, out foxed, and in terms of physicality, they were playing second to a superb Galway team. But you would have to say, in the searing heat of 24, 25 degrees in Turles, and it really was searing there last Sunday, that you couldn't imagine that any team, no matter how fit and how physical they are, like, and Galway are superbly fit and huge men, that they could sustain that level of performance and that level of effort, that level of intensity, that level of work rate for a full 70 minutes. And you'd be saying to yourself, Kilkenny were bound to have a spell of dominance, and that's exactly what had happened. But really, when the threat came, Galway drove on again. Now, all right, Kilkenny lost Walter Walsh, like who's a focal point of their attack, but it gives you an idea of what Kilkenny are all about. That they were able to spring. Colin Finlay and Richie Hogan from the bench, and both of those players had a real they made an impact, they made a difference, and importantly, they got a couple of goals that hauled Galway or Kilkenny back within touching distance. But you would have to admire that the way Galway drove on in the finish, and like you would have to say, even though Kilkenny came within a point of them at one stage in the second half, that Galway were comprehensive winners in the end. It's a last chance alone now for Kilkenny. We all know what Cody's teams bring when their back's up to the wall. To stay in the championship, they have got to beat Limerick. They have to go again. They've got to go back for the third week in a row. And we have seen how difficult that has proved to teams, particularly in the white heat of the Munster Championship. I think Kilkenny are vulnerable on Sunday. I think this is a glorious chance for Limerick. Okay, Limerick have been out against Carlow last weekend, but Limerick will certainly be an awful lot fresher than Kilkenny, and I think Limerick are in with a real chance here. This is an opportunity to get a first win, championship win over Kilkenny since 1973.
Yeah, it certainly is, Matt. I don't think they'll get a better shot at Kilkenny, and plus you have to remember too, you know, we have seen evidence of it. I know this is the round robin structure in its maiden season, and we have seen teams struggle on the back of three games. We've seen teams struggle playing three games in a row. Now Kilkenny have played two high intensity games against Galway, and they've not only played two, but they've come out the wrong end of the replay, which, you know, mentally has to have a bearing as well. So it's not like they've come out of the back of two wins. They've come out of a draw and a loss. And you know, Limerick, with all due respect to Carlo, Limerick were not put to the pin of their collars down in Dr. Cullen Park at the weekend. So you'd imagine that Limerick would be coming in here with a bit more legs, with a bit more freshness about them. And I know, like John Kiley said, that he wasn't going to put any leanings or anything in that sort of stuff. But look, that's the kind of thing that develops maybe with 15, 20 minutes to go, if you see that the legs of the Kilkenny fellas are starting to fade a bit. And that's hopefully, you know, you'd hope if Limerick are within touching distance at that stage, that, you know, that could be a factor.
Yeah. Certainly you would hope, but this all comes with a health warning. This is Kilkenny. And we know what Kilkenny have produced over the years. And I suppose, in a way, Michal O'Donoghue outfoxed Brian Cody to a degree last Sunday, because in the drawn Leinster final, particularly at the back, Padraig Walsh was allowed to set the agenda in that game in Croke Park. And the change of Jonathan Glenn for Conor Cooney and introducing Cooney from the bench in the last 20 minutes was an absolute masterstroke on the part of the Galway management, because Glenn caused all sorts of problems for Padraig Walsh and didn't allow the Kilkenny defence set into a pattern. He upset that Kilkenny defence and put him on the hind foot, particularly in the first first half. You're right. The big question is, will Kilkenny have the legs when it comes into that last 20 minutes, and when the travails and the exertions of the two Leinster finals will begin to take their toll? And you would have to question as well, if there is a question about Kilkenny, and you cannot discount any Kilkenny team, what have they on the bench in that last 20 minutes? Because it looks as if probably Hogan and Fenley, certainly one of them or both of them will start, particularly if Walter Walsh is not fit. Certainly they would be two serious players that you'd have in reserve coming into the last 20 minutes, which in an ideal world, I'm sure that Brian Cody would love to have to come on for the last 20 minutes, but he may have to use them from the start on this occasion, and he may not. But if he does, it certainly will limit his options in the bench coming into what... The game will probably be decided in the last 20 minutes. This game will probably go down to that. And certainly in that type of scenario, and judging by the way they have performed throughout the year, you would have to say that Limerick would be in a better position to have more in the tank going into that last 20 minutes. And I suppose in the last 20 minutes in Clare, against Clare, it being the third game in a row, that's what caught Limerick in that they had very, very little left in the tank. And so that danger is there, certainly from a Kilkenny point of view. And it's something I'm sure that Limerick would be preparing for all this week to capitalise on that on the home straight on Sunday.
Yeah, Matt, and one thing we've seen with Limerick as well is that Limerick do have options on the bench, and they do have options, you know, pacey, fit, young options there's plenty of legs on that bench. You know, if it's a case that a team are tiring, you know, with 15 minutes to go, the last thing you want to see is a Mike Casey coming on. That's if he doesn't start to, you know, running at you, or, you know, Limerick's bench has the potential to cause Kilkenny problems if they're tiring in the last quarter.
Absolutely, and right throughout the Munster campaign, you look at the Munster, you look at the Limerick bench. First of all, there are three all-stars in it: Richie McCarthy, Seamus Hickey, and Shane Dowling. And what a wealth of experience those three have on a tight situation. And you're right, that's Peter Casey. Like, it was tremendous to see the performance of Peter Casey, and delighted for him. Against Carlo, he obviously had that injury which inhibited him has been troubling him for a number of months, and he made a comeback with Limerick in the under-21 game against Tipperary and Turles on a night in which it didn't go well for Peter Casey, nor indeed go well for Limerick, in that Peter Casey got a very, very poor supply of ball on that particular night to show his wares, as Limerick were in serious difficulty all over the pitch. But Peter Casey showed on Saturday evening that, given the supply of the ball, that he can be a huge asset to Limerick, and he certainly made a statement, and he certainly put up his hand for a starting place. I thought last Saturday evening, and you're right, Raphael. He is another piece of the jigsaw that really strengthens the bench when you look at the bench. Now Barry Nash is another to come off the bench if he doesn't make the starting 15. The very same with Willem O'Donoghue if he doesn't make the starting 15. And if we're in the realms of speculation as to what the first 15 will be, but were John Kiely to stick with the 15 that did duty the starting 15, Raphael, last Saturday night, you had people like Sean Finn and Darragh O'Donovan to come off the bench. Like, it's there's a largesse of riches there, and a largesse of options, and it'll be very, very interesting when the team is announced later in the week.
One other thing, Matt, as well, is that, you know, people should remember that this team have, regardless of the result or what happens at the weekend, you know, this is a Limerick side that are improving and that are certainly on the up. And, you know, sport is sport. It can go either way. We all know that. But, you know, regardless of the result Saturday night, this is a Limerick side that I think we can look forward to having some really good days with out over the next few years. And look, let's hope that Saturday night is the start of that and that we can get that. I know that Jerome O'Connell mentioned it in his interview with John Kiely as well at the press conference, that John Kiely mentioned last year that Limerick's almost needed like a marquee or a breakthrough or a watershed victory in the championship. And, you know, this is a perfect opportunity. But again, regardless of the result, this is a Limerick team that's definitely on an upward curve.
There's no doubt not about that. Just look at their record this year. In a whole series of games, like they lost to Tipperary in the league semi-final after extra time, and then you had that game down in Clare. But apart from that, it's an absolutely perfect record from the start of the season through the Munster League, through the Alliance League, and like. There's a landmark victory in there, because I think at the start of the season, people would have been very, very doubtful about Limerick's chances of being promoted, particularly with and this is how events eventually transpired. Particularly with having to go to Salt Hill for the final game, which like was billed nearly from the outset of the competition as a winner take all. Limerick went there, and Limerick won, as we all know now, and won promotion to Division 1B. And that, in many ways, in my view, is a landmark victory already. But yeah, the talk about a landmark championship victory, I think Sunday is probably the opportunity to do that. Now we had a couple of very good victories in the Munster Championship, the victory over Tipperary, last year's beaten All Ireland semi finalists, and many people's favourites to do very well this year. Then we had that comprehensive victory over Waterford, last year's All Ireland finalists. Certainly major victories. I suppose the same importance wouldn't be attached to them being part of a round robin system as a victory over Kilkenny in a knockout game, which would be hugely important. And like, of course, you know, there's a bit of history between Limerick and Kilkenny. There is the quarter final of 2012, when we were very close. There was the heartbreaking semi-final in Croke Park in 2014, and then you had the final game in the qualifiers last year in Nolan Park when we practically did everything but beat Kilkenny, and even go further back to the 2007 All Ireland final when Kilkenny got that massive start with a couple of goals, and Limerick fought back for a period in the second half and came back within touching distance. There's an awful lot of hurt has been built up in games with Kilkenny in recent years, and there is a chance on Sunday to exercise that and hopefully. It would be incalculable the value of a landmark championship victory would be over Kilkenny for Limerick for the reasons I've said and in terms of the development and the progress of this team. But you must also remember that a number of the squad, Raphael, that will travel to Turles on Sunday were involved last year with the under 21s, many more of them were involved with the 2015 under 21 side. But like looking back, and I was only discussing it with people last night, the 2017 All Ireland under 21 success was the perfect success. Because you beat Tipperary, beat Clare, Cork, beat Galway, and beat Kilkenny in the final. So a lot of these guys know how to win these important games, and let's hope that they can make the transition from underage to senior, and Sunday certainly is an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and Matt, I suppose with the new round robin series and the way that structure, you can't argue either that any team that wins in All Ireland this year will have bloomin' well earned it, because they'll have really earned their stripes considering what they'll have gone through in either provincial championship and then the quarterfinals, semi final, and finals. So there's no easy All Irelands.
No, the new system ensures that the day of easy All Irelands are a thing of the past, and they have been consigned to history. Certainly, whoever will win this year's All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship, and I suppose the same with the Senior Football, and we'll be touching on it in a minute, they will certainly have earned their stripes, no doubt at all about that.
Matt, I don't know why I'm asking you this. It's more of a box-ticking exercise than anything else, but I'm going to ask you, and I hope our listeners aren't overly surprised by your response, who you think is going to win the game on Sunday?
I don't know why you keep asking me either, for the same reason, Raphael. I'm pretty confident that this can be Limerick's day.
We're going to have to change this that section to your Limerick predictions should never be how the game is going to go. It should really be how Limerick can win the match. So I think we'll have to change that segment for now. Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think it's a huge opportunity for Limerick. It's one that they'll really relish, and I'm thinking they'll edge a very, very close one. Just before we move off the hurling as well, the All-Ireland semi-final permutations have been announced, just so that you're not too confused for the weekend. Here's how the pairings will be made up based on the quarterfinals. If Kilkenny and Clare win in their quarterfinals, the semi-final pairings will be Galway versus Clare and Cork versus Kilkenny. If Limerick and Wexford win their quarterfinals, the semi-final pairings will be Galway versus Limerick and Cork versus Wexford. If Kilkenny and Wexford win their quarterfinals, the semi-final pairings will be Galway versus Wexford and Cork versus Kilkenny. Meanwhile, and here is the last one, if Clare and Limerick were to win their quarterfinals, the semi-final pairings would be Galway versus Clare and Cork versus Limerick. And I'll put it to you, Matt, that if I had to pick any of the four permutations or any of the two that involve Limerick winning, it'd be if Clare and Limerick win, then their quarterfinals, it would see Galway take on Clare and Cork take on Limerick in the All-Ireland semi-finals. If I was to hope for any situation, that'd be the one I'd nearly be going for.
Yeah, well, I suppose there are six counties left in it, and I suppose Cork can meet Galway in the semi-final, but I would say the other four would be trying to avoid Galway at this stage, and certainly it would be the more palatable of the options that would be available to Limerick at this point, because we had that great second round game down in Páirc Chaoimh, which was really that was a classic game of hurling. All right, Limerick were down to 14 players for all but what, except for the first half an hour, and Limerick will have unfinished business with Cork, but I certainly wouldn't be looking to Cork or Galway, and I'm sure John Kiley, the last two words that will appear this week in training will be either Cork or Galway. There'll be only one word, one focus, and that'll be Kilkenny.
Switching focus to the Camogie, Matt, Limerick, they're All-Ireland Championship hasn't really ignited. They've kind of struggled to find form. They head to Waterford at the weekend, knowing that it's the qualification to the quarterfinals is still out of their hands. But if they want to have any kind of remote say in it, then they're going to have to pick up a win. So I suppose Declan Nash will have to dust his side down and just say, look, we've nothing to lose. Go out, give it a lash, give it as good as you can give it. And see how the cards fall next week.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. In your first remark, it certainly hasn't caught fire. But the irony, and we were talking there about the hurlers beating Kilkenny. I suppose the irony of all this is that Limerick went to Kilkenny in the Littlewoods Camogie League and scored a great win down there. It has been basically downhill since, in that they struggled to beat Waterford. They struggled to draw with Waterford in the final round in Ballygran, but it was enough to qualify for the league semi-final, where they put up a very, very, very creditable performance against Cork in the semi-final down in Cork. But it has been downhill. They lost the Munster semi-final to Tipperary, and then the championship campaign really has not caught fire. Now, I was down at the Sardar games against Kilkenny and against Galway, and the first half they put in against Kilkenny, there was so much grounds for optimism, and they were leading in at half time, but had put in a superb effort in the first half, and you wondered how much had they left in the tank, and they were just leading by 2 points, and as we all know, Kilkenny came back and drove on and won the game, and then you had the disappointment of just getting a draw down in Clare in what was a poor, poor game. And I think it ended 8 points apiece or 9 points apiece or something like that. And it's a game that Limerick could and should have won probably. And that is where the difficulty is for them now, in that if they had those 3 points instead of 1 point, now they were very competitive the last day out against Galway for the most part, but the concession of goals at crucial stages, one of them on the stroke of half time, which was critical altogether, in that it gave Limerick an 8 points deficit to claw back in the second half. Now they go to Waterford. Waterford certainly haven't been rooting up any threes in the present championship either. They went to Galway and they suffered a very heavy defeat at the hands of Galway, a Galway team that was without Niamh Kilkenny and Niamh Hennessy, and we know the difficulty that those two caused Limerick in particular when they returned. I think they picked up 3 goals between them, apart from Niamh Kilkenny being such an influential figure around the middle of the park. And the Saints have played Kilkenny at home now, in Walsh Park, and they were quite competitive, and they stayed with Kilkenny right through the game and ended up losing by 6 points. But they are rock bottom at the moment. Their path to the quarterfinals is clearer than Limerick in so far as it's straight. Beat Limerick, beat Clare, you're into the quarterfinals. Not so for Limerick. A win for Limerick in Waterford on Saturday would mean that Limerick would move to 4 points. And because there are 5 counties in the group, Limerick would be powerless to do anything about their situation on the last day of the last round, because they have the bye, and Clare will be playing Waterford. A situation that one permutation that would certainly save Limerick and send them through to the quarterfinals would be were Limerick to beat Waterford, and Waterford in turn to beat Clare. But against that, were Limerick to beat Waterford, Waterford would have nothing to play for against Clare, because they would be out of the championship.
Yeah, Matt, how do you think it'll go? Call us.
I think it's going to be difficult to win down there. I think it's going to be difficult. I saw Waterford earlier on this year. They're a very, very competitive side. They work very, very, very hard. Now, there is a good game in Limerick, and you just hope that if Limerick can bring their A game and sustain it for 60 minutes, I know this is becoming a bit of a cliche, they have a chance of doing it.
Yeah, they certainly do. Matt,
By the way, the Premier Junior, the Premier Junior team are also out on Saturday in the Camogie Championship when they entertain Offaly in Bruff. They are in a 4 county group with Offaly, Clare, and Kerry. Now the game against Offaly in Bruff at 5 o'clock on Saturday evening is their only home game. They subsequently travel to play Clare and play Kerry away from home. And Limerick, of course, won an All-Ireland Junior back in 2014. So, look, let's wish the best of luck to both Limerick teams that they can do it. And just to finish on Camogie, the minor Camogie team also had a good win in the Munster Championship when they beat Clare in the week 2-12 to 1-12. So let's hope that Limerick Camogie will get further boost on Saturday, and wish the best of luck certainly to the seniors and the juniors, where if a couple of wins would be a major boost.
Yeah, and I suppose just that you mentioned minors there, just quickly, Antoine Powers' minor side, two defeats in a row now. They're just struggling to find form at the moment, and they've hit a bad route of form at a bad time of the year. But they will get a second chance, of course, next weekend against Kilkenny, where if they win, I think that books them through to a semi final.
Yeah, well, that might not be quite so. It depends on how Galway and Kilkenny go, and the scoring difference could come into it, and all that sort of thing, you know. I think a 120-0 defeat for Limerick was disappointing, and I think it was rather flattering. It was rather flattering for Galway because they got a run on Limerick before half-time, and Limerick got a number of opportunities after. Limerick had two gilt-edged goal chances, and they failed to take both, which may, and that they were at a crucial stage in the first 20 minutes, that they would, it could certainly have changed, it may not have changed the result, but it certainly would have changed the complexion of the game. And you never know if you don't fall that far behind, and if you're not playing catch-up, how the team would have responded. But Limerick certainly had further opportunities after half-time, and they were unable to take him. The match statistics of last Sunday are a bit of a worry for Anton Power, insofar as, first of all, Limerick's total was only 12 points, of which only 5 came from play. And Limerick failed to score from play in the second half. Now, Cathal O'Neill was again Limerick's leading marksman in that he scored 8 of Limerick's 12 points, 7 of which came from frees. They are, on the face of it, they are worrying statistics, and I'm sure in the 2 weeks between the Galway and the Kilkenny game, it is something that Anton Power will be working on. Now it's going to be very interesting on Sunday for early comers. The Kilkenny and Galway play in Turles on Sunday. Now, Galway were under 16 champions last year. Oh, sorry, Kilkenny were under 16 champions last year. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes between Kilkenny and Galway. And certainly, I think a win for Kilkenny against Galway would make life difficult for Limerick. But were Galway to carry on in the vein of form that they showed against Limerick, and they look quite impressive at times, and were they to beat Kilkenny, it would be a winner take all the following weekend.
Yeah, it certainly would. Matt, moving on, and of course the Super 8s are going to be kicking off this weekend, and it really is, I suppose, a feast of football from now on, and the football championship has been kind of waiting for has been waiting for this since it came in last year. It's the football championship, we all know it's far from perfect, but we're here now with the Super 8s, and I got to start by asking you, are you looking forward to them?
Yeah, not as much as I am looking forward to the concluding stages of the hurling, if I'm honest. Yeah, certainly there is a feast of football over the next 4 weekends. There are some very, very interesting games there. There are some very, very interesting home games in particular when you talk of Dublin going to Clonus and Galway going to Newbridge and Kildare going to Killarney. Some very, very novel pairings there. Donegal going to Roscommon. You know, some very, very interesting pairings. It's going to be hugely interesting. The interesting thing about it is that 7 of the 8 teams that are through to the Super 8s competed in the Allianz League Division 1. and Roscommon, who were in Division 2, they won promotion to Division 1. All right, Kildare lost their Division 1 status and Donegal did. But certainly, you're looking, if you based on league forum, the eight teams in Division 1 and the top two in Division 2, of those 10 counties, eight of them are in the Super 8s. So I suppose that there certainly is a correlation there. It's going to be very interesting, particularly the games, I think, between the respective provincial champions. And I'm talking about the Donegal versus Dublin game and the Galway against Kerry game. They will be very, very interesting games, because barring a draw, there are going to be two provincial champions going into round two fighting for their lives. Because if they lose in round one, and they will be going in against a team that will have quite a bit of momentum against them, because the teams that it's structured in such a way that the teams that are coming out of the qualifiers, like Monaghan are playing Kildare and Tyrone are playing Roscommon. I think that's the way it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll go through the pairings. It's Tyrone, Roscommon, yeah. Dublin, Donegal, Kildare, Monaghan, yeah. Kerry, Galway.
Yeah, all right. One of those, two of those coming from the qualifiers, we'll have won another game, and we saw what momentum does in the qualifiers in the past. The most classical example being as late as last year when Mayo built up a huge level of momentum through the qualifiers. So it is structured very, very, very interestingly.
Matt, I'm going to get you to do your quickfire predictions for me, because last week, if anyone was on board with your predictions last week, they would have made a handy few bob for themselves, and they'd have had a really nice weekend. But if you've missed your opportunity last week, now is your chance to get on it. Matt, quickfire predictions: Tyrone versus Roscommon.
I'm going for Tyrone here.
Okay. Dublin versus Donegal.
I think Dublin will win that. It's in Croke Park. Donegal are without Paddy McBrearty. He's a key figure in the Donegal attack. I think Dublin, but it could be quite a close game.
Kildare, Monaghan.
This is a tough one. There's a lot going for Kildare. But I'm going for Monaghan in this one.
And finally, Kerry versus Galway.
Kept a good wine till last, didn't you?
Yep.
You kept the toughest one till last.
I sure did.
I think Galway are quite a competent side. I think their league form is no fluke. They got to the league final. They are a formidable force. The one question mark I would have about Kerry, they appeared irresistible against Cork in the Munster final, but the manner in which Cork were turned over in the qualifiers by Tyrone, when they had no second chance, it raises a small doubt about Kerry.
Yeah.
Now, thinking back further, I thought Kerry were excellent in kicking 32 points against Clare in the Munster semi-final. Forum would suggest Kerry. It could go either way, but I think if Kerry bring the type of forum that they showed against Cork, they just might edge it, but were Galway to do it, it wouldn't surprise me.
Matt, just before we move off for the football, I don't know if you watched the Sunday game last weekend. Tomás O'Shea had some stinging criticism for Cork football. Was it a bit over the top? Was it a bit unfair, Matt?
Well, I suppose in situations like that, there are things that have to be said, you know. And I think Cork, to a certain degree, Cork County Board responded to that narrative to a certain degree during the week. But there is no doubt that there must be some serious problem in Cork, because, like, apart from the last 2 years, like, Cork have dominated, particularly at under 21 level, and at minor level they have certainly been very competitive, maybe not as competitive as they had been in the past. But certainly they seem to have a difficulty in players making the transition from successful at provincial level in particular, because they didn't have a great innings in the All-Ireland series after coming out of Munster in the under 21. They seem to have a difficulty in making the transition to senior, and they're nearly in the stage now of where they're changing managers for fun since the great days of Conor Coonahan, who led them to, was it 4 Munster championships in All-Ireland, a Division 2 title and 3 Division 1 titles in a row. It has been downhill, and I suppose it's a bit simplistic and a bit unfair to attribute it to any one thing now. But they've gone through Brian Cuthbert, and they've gone through Padraig Healy, and now Ronan McCarthy is on board. Certainly, there are challenges facing Cork at the moment, and I suppose the biggest problem with anything like that is. You've got to accept that you have a problem, because if there is denial, and I think that was part of the import of what Tomás O'Shea was saying, that you have a problem, then you have a real problem. I think you're going somewhere towards solving the problem if you accept you have a problem, if you can understand my rhetoric. But I suppose the problem in Cork, it's certainly no worse than the problem that we have in Limerick. We have a serious problem in Limerick as well, and I understand moves are afoot to put a committee in place to look at the whole thing, and it can't happen soon enough. But the one thing that would worry me on a wider picture, Raphael, is. Is this problem more widespread than we think? And just because we are down here in Limerick, that we are very, very conscious of the problems that are in Limerick, we're very conscious of the problems that are in our neighbours in Cork. Is football in trouble in a lot of areas of the country? Are the problems in Limerick and Cork just a microcosm of a much, much bigger problem? That's something that would worry me, and that we are not hearing about. And I think looking at the championship structure and the football championship structure, we're into the territory, we're into the space now of do nothing is probably no longer an option. And I think John Horn, the president of the GA, has flagged that he would not be averse to certainly doing something about it.